This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, September 5th, 2012. My name is Dr. Douglas Kelly. I'm so glad to have you here, and of course I'm here with my partner and co-host, partner in crime, Dr. Vicki Hunter. Welcome, Vicki.
Hey, good evening, Doug. And I would like to say hello to a couple of our listeners tonight. I do know that Minot is listening in the prairies and Merlin in the Rocky Mountains, two new listeners to our show tonight. I want to say welcome. Glad you're here.
Yes, welcome to them. Welcome to all our live listeners. Welcome to those listening to the archive. It's good to have you here. For this program, Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, or another, a.k.a. Metaphysics Institute. It's a school, metaphysical school. We offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of specializations available, including spiritual counseling and life coaching and holistic healing, paranormal science, and there are several more. If you are interested in learning more about this, visit us at metaphysicsinstitute.org. And of course,
and yeah, we have a new tarot course.
Yeah.
We have a new tarot course, introductory tarot, tarot 101, holistic tarot, which we give a little new take on it. You have to go read it, anybody who might be interested, metaphysicsinstitute.org. And coming up in the next 2-3 weeks, certified holistic tarot reading 1, and then people who would like to can go on to level 2 for their master teacher certification. I'm very excited about this program, and it's like almost 40 years of my studying tarot, mysticism, metaphysics, all pouring into this, and all those lessons from my great teachers. So in the apprenticeship fashion, the way it used to be. So I'm very proud of it. Anybody go check it out. My plug, Doug.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna help you out here. Yes, the Tarot Reader 101 is on the website now. If it's under mini courses, it's a mini course, so that means it's $19. And one of the ways you can support MCHS Church is by taking a course or class at Metaphysics Institute. And if you have any interest in tarot reading, this is a great introduction to holistic tarot card reading, and of course being taught by Dr. Vicki Hunter, and includes, as she said, her own approach to it, and then here in a few weeks we'll have the certified holistic tarot card reading courses, and that will be not only standalone courses, so you know anybody can take them, but they'll also be part of the IMHS degree program, so that degree program students can choose them as an elective. And we're going to also add a new specialization in holistic tarot card reading, so that's coming up here in the next few weeks. As part of our program,
Ron Elaine is just asking, is that different from the previous Tarot 101? I'll let you explain it.
Yes, it is a different course with a different instructor than the previous Tarot 101. So that is the short answer. As part of our new formatting, our program formatting, we want to also have a profession of our beliefs. The spiritual philosophy MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle of do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. And we believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are, therefore, equal. Irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference, One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and a spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open, yet grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. Now, with these beliefs having been related here,
I read them every day, Doug.
Do you?
I read them every day. I do. I tell you what, because they're very close to my heart, it reminds me more about not just who I am, but what I am and what we all are. These principles of belief, okay, I'm going to get on a soapbox, everybody, for a minute. Doug and I had lots of conversations. Doug Kelly was able to encapsulate into 9 principles what the whole world needs. And if everybody read these principles every day and was reminded of how to guide our lives, we would all be better human beings. There'd be no war. There'd be no fighting. There would be no differences. We'd all get along. So, I mean, I'll read them for my own reasons. But I recommend everybody just read them over. You heard Doug say them. We're going to say them at the beginning of every program from here forward, because they're important. And we all need to be reminded there's a lot of caca going on out there in the world. And this is, it's really simple. There's a solution for everything. You know, we don't all have to be the same. We can all agree to disagree. And if we could just do that one thing and then read the principles, do no harm, do right. You know, Doug and I recently had this conversation about there are people, really good people, who do their best to do no harm. But there's the second part of this, that to do right. So, you know, we're going to talk about meditation and visualization tonight, and it's an awesome, wonderful subject. We all need it. We all need to tune in to ourselves and find ways to do that. But we still have to have good life skills, good principles, good, you know, a good philosophy to follow. So that's my soapbox. I'm getting
good,
down now,
because
I just had to do it. Had to do it.
Well, you know, in the coming months, members and others are going to see a lot more development of the church. It's, you know, this has always been an ongoing project ever since I founded it 2.5 years ago. And, you know, there's a lot of work to do.
I'd say Doug for president. That's what I say.
Really? There's a lot of different things to take care of and to develop, and it just like it seemingly never ends. I focused a lot of effort in getting the school, Metaphysics Institute, all ready to go. And that involved writing over 20 courses, and that took a considerable amount of time, because when I write a course, I do it right, and I make sure that there's plenty of meat and good points and things that can help change people's lives for the better. And I achieved that. So over the coming months, now I'm going to be taking my and focusing my attention on further church development. We have probably close to 300 members right now, at least registered on the website, which is great. And they're from all around the world, which is the idea, you know, global community here. But as odd as it may sound, I got a little inspiration from Sun Myung Moon, who recently died. And, you know, and he, it wasn't so much inspiration from him as it was being reminded of one of the models that Christianity has followed over the centuries. And, you know, they feel empowered, entitled. You know, they're on a mission from God, so to speak. And, you know, they send out missionaries. They go out. And, of course, there's been a, both good and bad come out of that kind of a thing. But the point I'm trying to make is that they believe, they at least have conviction. I'll give them that. And they believe that, you know, the whole world needs to be Christian, which is part of the problem.
Oh, don't even go there,
yeah,
Doug.
I'm not going to. So, you know, you look at these nine principles of belief. They are healthy. They are powerful. They don't do harm. They teach equality. They teach tolerance. They teach peace. They teach you that you don't need anything outside of yourself. Therefore, you don't develop codependent tendencies on some mythical being in the sky. You know, they teach that we're enough. They teach that you have all the answers within you. You know, one of the things I read about Sun Myung Moon was that he was a self-styled messiah. And I says, hey, I want to be a self-styled messiah too. And everybody should. And that's the whole point. You know, the, everything about MCHS Church is that you should be self-complete. That means you are your own messiah, savior. Hey, it makes sense, doesn't it? You're your own savior. Be your own messiah. Be your own guru. Be your own spiritual counselor. You know, that's why MCHS is not a cult, because nobody's directing you to one person. It's not a high control group. You know, here are these nine principles that will make a huge difference in the world. So, you know, I have total conviction in this, and this is something the whole world needs, and it's healthy. So this is part of the deal. You know, over the coming months, more development of this, more development of the church, you know, doing more work and completing the Enchiridion, which is going to be the handbook, which is going to talk about these principles and much, much more, healthy living topics, practical life skills. It's powerful stuff, and it's going to be freely available to the world because it needs to help make the world a better place, bring it together. Will it solve all the problems of the world? You know, will we finally be excellent to each other, as the movie said? I hope so. Will it happen in my lifetime? I doubt it. But you know what? It's leaving the woodpile a little higher than I found it, and that's the point. So stay tuned. We'll be talking about different things along these lines.
Now, for some of our new listeners, you know, I don't think there's a one of us who hasn't been raised in a religious community,
right?
And hasn't left a religious community. And knowing that there's something limited there, there's something not quite right there, and so we're seeking, and seeking what? You know, I've always walked the path of an individual. I've never joined groups. I've studied, I've pursued, and wanting to find something, you know, well, just more, which always led me back to myself, which I was quite happy with. There wasn't, you know, before IMHS and MCHS, there wasn't anything I ever recognized that promoted independent thinking, the pursuit of education and self-awareness, you know, without some foo-foo stuff. And we have to give credit to Camille for that one, because I'm so hooked on that word, I can't stand it. You know, it's the foo-foo land. And, you know, to aspire to some, you know, there's always some Christian inflection somewhere in the language that is always grated on me a little bit. And it's like, okay, if we're not Christian, but we want to, you know, aspire to a Christ experience, a Christ light. Well, look, I just want to bypass that guy. I want to go right to the source. That's the way I see it. And IMHS, MCHS encourages that. And this is why I am behind Doug Kelly all the way, you know, and I've made that commitment, MCHS Church. And just a footnote to that, you know, I've had a lot of resistance from people over the years about, you know, the government trying to come down on counselors and, you know, bylaws, legislations, regulations. And I always said, you know what, if it comes to that, I'll just go and incorporate a church. I'll play by their rules. I'll incorporate a church. I'll go and be my own guru and just keep doing what I'm doing, because that's the way you kind of fight fire with fire. Well, why did I have to reinvent? I don't have to reinvent the wheel. Doug Kelly did it for me. So,
oh, sure. Let me do all the work.
That's right. Well, you know, not only that, you had all the computer skills, Doug. So that you beat me by 10 miles, so that's great. So this is where, you know, okay, I got in another soapbox. I'm sorry. But I'm not really sorry, because it needs to be said. And
well, you know what, if these cults can grow like they have and into multi-billion-dollar enterprises and still be as dysfunctional as they are, you know, there's got to be room for actually a healthy and functional spiritual philosophy to take hold and take root in people's hearts, because the time has come. So let's, you know, I mean, every decade there's always somebody talking about, let's, you know, have peace and be excellent to each other and all that stuff. I mean, heck, the hippies were doing it. You know, it just keeps going all through the decades, and yet it's not embraced by the masses. And I hope that, and I have faith that one day it will be embraced. And there goes my kitty. Hold on.
You know, but it's true. If all these others, these are healthy principles, it's a healthy way of seeing things, and it promotes individual thinking, individual study. And I'm very, very sincere. If I hadn't come across Doug Kelly when I did, then I would have certainly gone out and done it myself. You know, as the beautiful thing for me, and everything that I've been writing, studying, I've been a professional writer most of my adult life. I've told Doug, this is such a cathartic experience for me, because I can write what I've studied and what I have written, but now I get to actually teach it. So we welcome people to do that, and that's another thing that I appreciate about IMHS, is that, you know, it has lots of room for people to get on board. And if you think that you have something to contribute to the school, something else, you know, get through your degree program, you know, get that little PhD behind your name, and then participate, because we welcome the more people who bring their particular brand of expertise, the better the school is, the better the church is, and the more we expand. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's a great venue. We welcome everybody. So,
well,
and then send your money.
Yeah, MCHS is a human-centered philosophy. It's not a theological type of thing. It's not Christian. It's human-centered. And, you know, history has shown that we need to take care of our own problems. That's the only time they get taken care of. So if you want to support MCHS Church, you know, you can send in donations. We appreciate that. It costs money to make all this stuff happen, including this radio show. And, you know, or you can go take a course. Pardon?
People should know, we volunteer. We volunteer.
Yeah.
We don't get paid for this. So we do it because we believe in it. I believe in it. And we do it because we want to be a part of this world community, evolving and expanding our consciousness and bringing these subjects to everybody. So there's nothing in it for us, everybody, except the joy of being with you. That's it, plain and simple.
And if you want to also support, you can take classes and courses at Metaphysics Institute. Enroll in the degree program. It's win-win, because you will learn a ton of stuff that will make your life better, period. And it will teach you the skills you need to go out and help others in turn. So we've talked about that, and that needed to be talked about, and I'm glad we did. Now let's kind of segue into our topic for tonight. We're going to be talking about this for the next few minutes, and then here somewhere around quarter till the top of the hour, we'll do a guided meditation on some of these different points. So let's talk about the nature of meditation. Exactly what is it? Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, there's a lot of different definitions of meditation. It's more or less the act or art, I might say, of thinking deeply. It means to ponder, muse, ruminate, cogitate, or study. It means many things to many people. There are different forms of meditation. In fact, the meanings are definitions are about as diverse as the number of people who practice it. The different methods are about as diverse, too. For some people, meditation is the act of relaxing and focusing on one thought or a concept for a certain period of time. For other people, they might just focus on nothingness, which is kind of hard to do. You know, it's impossible to be conscious and thought-free at the same time for most of us. I think there might be some who can do that, but I'm not getting into that.
There's a technique, though. There's a technique, though, is to be conscious of whenever your brain flits out. Like when your mind does split out, just acknowledge it and start to command it and just bring your thought back to the moment.
That's mindfulness meditation, which we're going to talk about, too. And so, but this focusing on nothingness, you know, some people can, I mean, you can get to a good point on that if you imagine a blank wall, white wall, use some visualization there. So that's kind of what meditation is. A lot of folks think you got to sit, you know, in that Indian-style posture on the floor or somewhere, and you have to, you know, put your middle finger and index thumb together, or your thumb and middle finger together, and, you know, do and things like that, mantras. You can. That's one type of meditation. But we can meditate in many different ways. There are things like micro-meditations we'll talk about. So meditation is simply thinking deeply and focused on something. When you're problem-solving, you're thinking deeply about that. That's a form of meditation. Now, some folks say that prayer is also a form of meditation, and I suppose it could be. I just don't like the P word because prayer intimates or implies that you're speaking with somebody, especially, you know, God or some entity like that. And so you can pray and be prayerful. It's a form of meditation, but I don't use the word because it implies you're actually talking to somebody.
I pray to spirits all the time, Doug.
Well, you can talk.
I pray to spirits all the time.
But prayer also implies beseeching and imploring and that kind of a thing. So don't use it.
No,
but
I don't do that. No.
There are two basic types of meditation. There's the concentrative type meditation, and then there's the mindfulness meditation. The concentrative meditation is kind of what it states. You concentrate on something. It can be just about anything from your breath to an object to a sound. You can use mantras, which is just a verbal word or phrase or something like that you can use. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. The other type is mindfulness meditation, which we mentioned. This is more of a Zen-based form. It involves expanding your awareness to be mindful of the continual parade of thoughts, sensations, smells, sounds, feelings, that type of thing, without participating in them. You kind of act like a bystander who you're just there to observe. That's about it. You observe them as they occur without really becoming part of them. You remain in the present moment, not in the past or in the future. And that, this reduces stress and worry because our stress and worry is mostly in the past or in the future. It's not in the moment. All right, so some types of mindfulness meditation. Actually, these kind of extend. They can include it, and they may not. Kind of some other types. One is called walking meditation. Instead of sitting or lying down, you walk. You know, if you ever gone on a walk to clear your head, that's kind of a walking type of meditation. You can even do other physical activities, dancing or martial arts, that sort of thing. You focus on your steps, on your movements, on your breathing while you're engaged in a particular activity. So you can even meditate while you're doing something else. Then there's the breathing meditation. This is one of the simplest ones. You simply focus on your breathing. You get in a comfortable position. You take several deep breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth. Focus on that rhythm of your breathing, and you visualize that air circulating throughout your body, cleansing and revitalizing, that sort of thing. Another type is clear mind meditation. This involves clearing your mind of all thoughts, which is pretty much impossible to do, but you can get close. We try to clear our mind of thoughts at times, and we get more of them, you know. At least we're more mindful of them, and so you can kind of segue into that mindfulness meditation. And I'll give you some techniques on doing that in a bit here. There's the mantra meditation. Some people use the word om or A-U-M. Or some people spell it O-M. Just that type of a thing. And you repeat that sound continuously as you focus on a specific thing. You can also use a specific word or concept. You know, for example, maybe you're going to meditate to improve your own self-confidence. So you could use the word confidence, and you could use that as a mantra in some sing-song fashion. There's other, of course, things you can focus on: health, vigor, healthy boundaries, attraction, attracting love, compassion, tolerance, forgiveness, that sort of thing. There's reflective meditation, which is another type. This is probably one of the most common types we do, because we are reflecting on something. We often engage in it without even realizing it. If you've ever been absorbed in solving a problem or situation, maybe you've been reading a self-help book while applying it to yourself or contemplating your own activity in it, it's reflective. It's a reflective type of meditation. And then there's the micro meditation, and this is really a great tool. So I'm going to encourage you to use it. Micro meditation is a very deliberate, very brief style of meditation. It can take a few seconds. It can take a minute or two, whatever you want it to be. But you begin with two or three deep breaths in through your nose. Hold on to them for a moment. Let them go out through your mouth slowly. And as you do this, you focus on the purpose of your meditation. Maybe you're doing it to center yourself, calm down, not take yourself so seriously, de-stress, those kinds of things. And you might use or repeat a word as you do this. You don't have to do it in the sing-song fashion, but you can just release stress. And you can say that. You know, take a deep breath. I release it. I release stress. And focus on what it is you want to release, or focus on what it is you want to do. I use micro meditations all the time. And it's a great tool if you're at work and you're getting stressed. Take a couple of minutes. You don't even have to literally take a break. You can just do this no matter what you're doing. But it's nice to just step out somewhere and just take a couple of minutes, take some deep breaths, release it. And you use that terminology, I release it. And you can even open your hand as if you're releasing it. It's a type of visualization. So micro meditation, good thing, important thing, helpful thing. Meditation also has a lot of benefits, physical benefits. Obviously helps you to de-stress. You can decrease your metabolic rate or increase it depending on what you want to do. Lower your heart rate. There's lower levels of cortisol and lactate, which are two chemicals associated with stress. You can reduce free radicals, decrease high blood pressure. There's a lot of, and they go on and on. There's a lot of benefits. There's also the psychological benefits, increased brainwave coherence, decreased anxiety and depression, irritability, moodiness. It's a great way to recenter oneself.
And scientifically proven, I might add. Scientifically, medically proven.
There's one other thing I'm just going to mention in terms of, are there any dangers to meditation? Not really, but some people will meditate for hours a day. Is that dangerous? Well, it can be. It's unhealthy, for one thing. It's, you know,
I call that checking out.
Yeah, it's obsessiveness, you know, and they're trying to attain a particular state, see God, whatever, you know, altered state. I don't recommend that, because meditation is not an end in and of itself. It is a tool. It is something we use to do certain things, de-stress and these other things I've already mentioned. So,
unless somebody wants to be a monk, that might be a whole different thing.
Which, in my opinion, is also unhealthy, because it's just the focus, you know. It goes along with the I'm special syndrome, but I'm not going to get off on that one. Any rate, no offense, Thomas Francis. Anyway, so those are some
Thomas
types.
Francis is our spirit friend. For those who don't know and haven't listened to previous shows, we have a spirit friend named Thomas Francis, who was a monk. At least that's how he shows himself to us. So just so stay tuned. We're still hoping to visit again, and we'll do a show about that. So another day.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about how to practice holistic meditation. Again, I kind of alluded to a few methods. You can do it however you want. If you want to do it and make it an event type of thing, then start out with a 3 to 5 minute session. Maybe add 1 to 5 minutes a day until you're involved in it 20 to 30 minutes. This is a for deliberate type of meditation. Create a peaceful and comfortable atmosphere. Make sure you have quiet and solitude and you're not going to be disturbed. Turn off your phone. You can play some light atmospheric background music. That's fine. Your posture, you can get into that full lotus position, you know, the Indian style with your thumb and middle finger touching or close to it or whatever. There's different positions. Lotus is one. On your knees, you know, like sitting up on your knees is another one. There's just various, whatever's comfortable for you. I mean, I don't know about you, but maybe you're one of those people that can sit in that lotus position for a while, but I sure as heck can't. So I don't even do that. If you do it, you might want to have a little pillow, too. That'll help your hind end. Wear loose, comfortable clothing. Settle and breathe. You know, when you begin your meditation, just let things settle for a moment. Just sit there for a minute. Let things settle. Let the room in your mind settle. Get a perspective of the energy around you, the energy of the room. Take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment. Let it go through your mouth. Do this a few times, spaced a moment or two apart, and just let things settle. That is such a huge tip right there. Let things settle. What are your objectives and your intent? If you're going to do the mindfulness meditation, then your objective is simply to become aware of passing thoughts and sensations in an effort to center and calm the spirit and mind. If you're doing a concentrative type of meditation, then you're going to want to choose your objective. It can be all kinds of things, anything you choose, whatever you want to do. Relaxation, developing your psychic sensitivity, greater self-awareness, character reinvention, personal growth, attaining goals, reducing blood pressure, problem solving, sleeping better, connecting with your higher self, attracting abundance, building self-esteem, build your willpower, break habits, bad habits, setting healthy boundaries, centering yourself, releasing the energy of unhealthy thinking or behaviors, hurts, pains, controlling anger, the list just goes on. Let me just give you an example, kind of an introduction to mindfulness meditation. It's not hard. And we're just going to do it for a minute here, but just do this for a second. Just take in a deep breath, in through your nose, hold on to it for a moment, exhale slowly through your mouth, and just let the room settle. And I'm going to calm down in my voice a little bit. Just let the room settle. You can close your eyes if you wish. Just breathe and let things settle. Take another deep breath and let things settle. Now, I want you to listen. What can you hear? You can obviously hear me. What else can you hear? What other sounds are there going around you? Can you hear air conditioner going? A fan, maybe. Can you hear traffic sounds? Whatever's around you, what can you hear? Just note them and let them go. What about your thoughts? Are you thinking, I wish this guy'd stop talking so I can actually pay attention? Release it and let it go. And that's really mindfulness meditation. You just get into the habit. I want to share with you on distractions, because they're going to come up. I mean, you might get an itch. You might hear a sound, a noise that, you know, just could distract you. And obviously, if it's distractions important, you know, deal with it. But so many of them are not. You might even have minor aches and pains. You know, they're just itches, whatever. So here's a technique that you can use to deal with these distractions. And it's basically acknowledge, name, and release. Acknowledge it, name it, and release it. If you notice your mind drifting off of your chosen objective, acknowledge it by saying something like, irrelevant, and then you follow it up with release. So if you hear a mundane sound or noise, simply say irrelevant, release. And then continue with your meditation. If you feel an emotion like happy, sad, or you feel pain or anger, name it and release it. For example, you get a sadder thought, you simply say, sad, release, and you move. You continue meditating. If another one comes up, like a pain, you name it, pain, release it, itch, release it, something like that, whatever happens to be. If it's a thought, a memory, something that's just really not relevant to what you're focusing on, you name it irrelevant, and you say release. So those are some ways of the mindfulness meditation and of using the concentrative meditation. Any comments? I haven't looked at the chat. I don't know if there's any questions.
Well, there's a couple, but just one second. If you really do have an itch when you're meditating, just scratch it. That's what I say.
Yeah, it depends. I mean,
it's like, okay, I'm going to work through this itch. I don't think so. I just scratch it.
Depends on if scratching is going to really take you out of your position and all that. It's interesting. When you have an itch like that and you just let it go, it will pass. Within a few seconds, you won't even feel it. Just try it sometime. It's interesting how that works.
You know, Ron Olane, bless you. I know that it's anyway. It says a few years ago, you'll love this, Doug. He says, we had a Jehovah's Witness convention in town, and I had some of the convention goers at our establishment. And the one said to me, meaning Ron, when you meditate, the devil comes and visits.
Well, that's,
I think that's booze. I think booze does that.
Yeah, definitely. Not that's
meditating.
For sure.
Alcohol, there you go. Because I know it's a real touchy subject for some of us, but these are such mythical ideas, archaic, and people really do believe that if you're giving too much to yourself, it's greedy. If you're being, too self-absorbed, you're selfish. And it goes on and on. So people are fearful of that. And if you're not in line with, following a particular philosophy or ideal or dogma, then it means to say that you're an outcast and not normal. And people are very afraid of that. Self-empowerment, in whatever way you get there, is a very scary thing to a lot of people, which is exactly why we need to talk about it. Meditation, in any form that you choose, is a way of being in touch with yourself so you can free your mind. And very gradually, if you get in the habit of it, you'll start to see, and start thinking, you start to see about some of the ideas you've taken on that don't belong to you, that you've really been tripping over in your life. And I think that meditation is that vehicle. It's one of the best vehicles there are to just being with yourself. That in and of itself can be very frightening to people. To be quiet. What is it to be quiet? Without the radio and the TV and the traffic and the stuff, to just be quiet for a moment. So, whether it's religious thinking or any other kinds of thinking that maybe are not religious related, to be self-possessed, as we say, is a very alarming notion. And we can just boot that one right out the door, thank you very much, and be self-possessed, be selfish, be completely you in those moments where only you matter. And you'll be able to take that through your life, not in a narcissistic way, because we live in a shared community. We're in a humanity here. But I just wanted to answer that or respond to that in a completely different way than we might ordinarily do so, Doug. So that's because it just kind of encompasses everything. People are afraid of being alone with themselves. And they think about devils. They think about bad spirits. And they think about, it's just be quiet with the self. You'll get to know yourself. The empowerment's amazing. Next question. Tina's just asking, is there any medium work done here? I guess, are you asking geez, do we do readings on the show, or is it, are meditations good for medium work? I'm not quite sure where Tina's going with that. So if you clarify that, we'll get to it, Tina.
All right.
So
and just to,
that's what I wanted to say.
And just to address the whole, you know, Jehovah's Witness thing, actually, they do encourage meditation. They meditate on the Holy Scriptures. However, they do not think of meditation in the same way we're talking about here tonight. They basically, they're saying think deeply about it, because they don't teach any forms of meditation. And the one saying that when you meditate, the devil comes in and visit, they're probably referring to a further description of clearing your mind type of thing. That's the same problem that they and most other religions have with hypnosis. You know, if you're not in control of your mind, then the devil can come in and get you. And if that's true, if you believe it, but in reality, it's not true. So the comment from Tina is, I was just wondering if readings were done in the show or if it's strictly meditation, healing, learning. The show is about many, many topics. Tonight, we happen to be talking about meditation and visualization, which we're going to talk about next. And then we're going to, in just 4 or 5 minutes here, we're going to get into a guided meditation. There are times when we do psychic readings when we have a little more time. So, but every show from now on, we're having a guided meditation toward the end. So if you want to hang around for that, would be super. Let's talk just for a minute about visualization. Visualization is a great add-on, if you will, to meditation. It can really superpower or empower your meditation sessions. Visual imagery is a language of the mind. So if you're meditating on solutions to problems, or if you're meditating on what you want to do with your life, you know, your life purpose, if you're using meditations to control pain or stress or things like that, you can use visualizations to aid you in that. And it can be anything you want. Some simple ones are probably more powerful. For example, you want to de-stress? Well, imagine a big, giant, like a volume control knob on the wall. That's your stress level. And imagine yourself going in and turning it way down gradually as you breathe. That's a visualization. If you're got the bug, you know, you got the flu or cold or something like that, or any kind of illness, imagine, like we're going to do this soul light meditation here in a minute, imagine that light from the universe, from yourself, going into your body. It's like millions of little tiny soldiers, and they're going in and they're doing battle and they're winning and they're attacking those bacteria and those viruses that are making you sick, those bugs that are making you sick, and they're winning this battle. I mean, they're just obliterating all the bad cells, all the bad bugs, that sort of thing. Those are types of visualizations that you can use, and it will empower your meditation sessions. There's also deliberate intent. When you meditate, don't overlook the value of deliberate intent, and that simply is the act of deliberately and intensely putting your wants and intentions out into the universe. And I got to tell you, it works. Just put your intent out there, deliberate intent. And don't forget about, when you're doing that sort of thing, don't forget about gratitude too. Be grateful for at least what you've got, where you're at, and then put your intent out there. Remember to focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Focus on what you want. Don't focus on what you don't have, because you know the mind. The mind will give you whatever you focus on continuously. So focus on what you want to happen.
Maybe just explain that a little bit more, Doug, that about what happens when we focus on the things we don't have.
Well, your mind, basically, if you want your outside world to change, you've got to change your inside world first. That means that your outside world is simply a reflection of your inside world in many ways. So if your outside world is not what you want it to be, then you've got to look within first. What about myself do I need to update, change, grow, enhance? How can I become more aware? You got to change your inside worlds, you know, change your thoughts, change your world. That's the old expression. So Your mind gives you what you focus on. Your unconscious mind brings reality into line with your conscious and unconscious thoughts. So if you're focused on what you want and positive, healthy thinking, that's what your life's going to be. If you are focused on how rotten humanity is and how bad everybody is and all the problems there are, well, that's what you're going to, that's the reality you're going to live in. So choose your thoughts, change your world. I hope that explains a little bit more.
Sometimes that clarification just makes all the difference too, you know.
All right, so, and we've got about 14 minutes left. We're just going to take the next five, or about 10 minutes, 11 minutes, something like that. We're going to do a guided meditation. This is just something we're doing every week now. We've done it quite a number of times on the show sporadically, but we're just going to do a general guided meditation to encourage and upbuild, that sort of a thing. And so,
you know, Tina was asking in the chat about scents, like if aromatherapy might help, or you know, other
sure.
aids or tools and that come with meditation.
And that's a good point. You can burn incense. I do. I mean, I like it. You can play some atmospheric music in the background. I think that all helps. It just depends on you. There's nothing wrong with it. Remember, there is no right or wrong way to do meditation. It's your deal. So make it right for you. Good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Tina. It's a good point to have mentioned. All right. Time's a going, so we're going to get right into this guided meditation. I keep starting the song, but it's not. Let's see what plays here, the music. Hopefully, no, it's not. That's very odd. Try another one.
You know, I might just throw in here while you're getting the music together, Doug, that hypnosis and meditation have a really, you know, in-line partnership, because it's still state of mind. Hypnosis equals state of mind. That's the term for it. So meditation and hypnosis can have a partnership. If anybody is pursuing hypnosis or thinking about going for hypnosis, really, it is somebody guiding you through a meditative, relaxed state to, you know, access the unconscious mind at its very many levels. So, you know, it's just something else to consider for people who are doing more research, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point to make. I'm working on getting our sound going. My switchboard is not quite. I mean, I'm going to try it a couple more times, and if it doesn't, I will.
The sound of your voice will be enough, Doug. Doug's got a great voice for guided meditation, so sure, we'll be just fine. I could sing
in
the background.
Thank you so much. All right. Well,
I could hum a tune. Let's see if it works.
That's okay. We'll pass on that one. I'm just going to... Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to, offend you or anything, but...
My grandkids think I'm a great singer. I'll have you know.
Well, all right. What I'm going to do is just take you through a shorter one. I personally really enjoy having the music and the ocean waves behind me. It really just helps to set the mood, and it's my switchboard, even after refreshing, it's not playing. This is a first. I've never had my Blog Talk Radio switchboard not play my music. That's very odd, so I'll have to contact them. And okay, and deal with it that way. All right. Okay, so to do this, we're going to just do a guided meditation, soul light meditation, which I've done a few times. We're going to do it again. I want you to pick a spot straight across from you on the wall. Just focus on it. And as you do, I want you to take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for just a moment, and then just slowly release it through your mouth and just settle, relax. Keep focusing on that spot, staring at it. Take another deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth, and just settle again. I want you to focus on the room. Focus on the energy of the room. What do you hear? What sounds are there? How do you feel? How does your body feel? Continue to focus on that spot on the wall. Take another deep breath, and as you release your breath out through your mouth, just allow your eyes to close gently and just again relax, settle. It's perfectly okay. Everything is safe. You're fine. You're doing great. I want you to now imagine a beautiful light above your head, a sphere, glowing, radiant ball of light. That is your essence. That is your higher self. It is, shall we call it, your soul light. It's who you are. And I want you to imagine that these radiating beams of light are like tentacles. They're just reaching out to the universe, or reaching out to all living things, connecting you, entangling you with all living things, dialing you into the universal consciousness, the Akashic record, making you one with the universe, which you are. But you're realizing that, and you see that radiating, illuminating ball of light that is your essence, that is pure, that is perfect, that is wonderful. It feels so good. And I want you to just imagine drawing that light down into your body, that energy, draw it down, and let it fill you up. And just imagine that light, that energy, circling, cycling, navigating all through your body, revitalizing, nurturing, de-stressing, comforting every cell of your body, relaxing every muscle. Take another deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth, and just settle and feel that. Feel the rhythm of your breathing. Feel the energy within you. And understand that you are perfectly you. There is no one like you. You're it. You are a perfect version of you. No one else can be as perfect at being you as you are. You are therefore perfect. And I want you to understand that with perfection means that you feel that you are just as good as anyone and everyone else, no more, no less. You're entitled to the good things in life, no more, no less, just like everyone else. You are a perfect work in progress, and every day you strive to be better than yesterday. Tomorrow you'll be better than today. You are perfect in every sense of the word. And as a perfect being, it brings you joy. Being a perfect being, you seek your own counsel. You can certainly ask for advice, but you make your decisions. You seek your guidance. You meditate on potential solutions and realities. You seek your own validation. You are happy fulfilling your own expectations, which you have set. These are good things. And as you take another deep breath, you understand that everything about you is just as it should be right here, right now. And if there are things that need to change, that's fine. They will change because you focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. You look to the future and you put it out there. And as you contemplate these things that I'm saying, you continue to feel that energy in your body, that soul light energy drawn down from that radiant globe, that radiant ball of light going all through your body and right down through your feet into the ground, keeping you grounded, keeping you down to earth, personable, great things. And now I want you to release and embrace. We release any need to one-up anyone else or to do others harm, and we embrace the principles of do no harm and do right. We embrace raising our vibrational energy, our vibrational level. We release the need to feel that we are inferior, and we embrace the knowledge that we have an indomitable spirit. Nothing can overcome it. I want you to release the need to feel that somebody else needs to fix things in your life and embrace the responsibility of finding solutions to your problems. I want you to release the need to think that people are not equal and embrace equality for everyone. Embrace the concept that we are one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. I want you to release the need to look to anyone outside yourself and embrace that divine energy that flows through you right here, right now. Just think of it